Good job respecting the bell, everybody. I'm proud of you. I'm just going to assume the best out of our listeners, Steve. So good job, everybody. Welcome back to the final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick. Don't get me started on that. Welcome back. Final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday. That means Crunch Exchange. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports, give him a prospectus from those stories, and he's going to tell us if he's buying or selling. There is also an option for pending. Charles Barkley in the news today for being outspoken. Nice. Wait, how is that news? So the NBA is going to change the way they schedule in an effort to make things easier on players to help avoid coaches benching stars during road games. So the product on the court and on TV is always as good as it can be. Barkley thinks the players are being soft. He said sarcastically, I want to commend the NBA. I'm not going to do a Charles Barkley impersonation. Not going to do it. You know, these poor babies can't play back-to-back games. We want to make it convenient for them. At $40 million a year, we can't stress them out. So Barkley probably has a point. But the fact of the matter was that players were sitting, ticket sales and TV ratings suffered, so the league had to do something. The prospectus, NBA players are being babies by wanting to rest and avoid back-to-back games.
Well, so here's the point.
Yep.
You're paying a guy $40 million a year play every game.
To play.
I'm also thinking, you're playing a guy $40 million. I want him to play as well as he can for as many games as he can. That's a different price of poker. When Barkley was playing, if a guy made, you know, $5, $6 million a year, it wasn't a cap crusher. But I know it seems soft on the surface, and it's also time that everybody, I go over this with people, how could they pay? It's TV money. Is that even no, it's TV money. Where there's a salary cap in the NFL and the NBA, the money's there. The owners aren't getting screwed over. They're not, like I've said a million times, they're not selling their private jet or island or mansion or beach house to pay a player's salary. So if it's going to be better for TV and if it's going to be better for your $100, $150, $200 million guy to actually get the most out of him, that's what you got to do. So I'm selling that.
The Red Rifle has not been doing so well this season, Steve. 394 yards in two games, zero touchdowns, four interceptions. Bengals actually the sixth worst in the NFL in terms of total yards per game. San Francisco is the worst, in case you were wondering.
I was.
But the Bengals are dead last in the league, averaging 4.5 points per game. The 49ers are second, averaging six,
You have
by the
to
way.
Get that in there.
So a report from Pro Football Talk this week said that several players who they spoke to say they should reach out to Colin Kaepernick to bring him in because Dalton is playing so poorly. Dalton, by the way, a Pro Bowler last season. Since he also has A.J. McCarron on their roster, who many teams coveted this offseason as a backup. So bringing in a free agent? Well, the prospectus. The Bengals should consider bringing in Kaepernick.
Well, it's kind of two subjects. It's ridiculous as bad as some of these quarterbacks are out there that he doesn't have a job. I get it, blah, blah, blah. We talked about it. First Amendment means you don't get jailed, but it doesn't mean you can't get punished some other way financially by having trouble getting a job, losing endorsements and all that. They still have A.J. Green, LaFell. Eifert's a terrific tight end. They added John Ross, the stud from Washington. They're still a pretty good team. They just look god-awful. They're not doing anything drastic just yet. I read the story as well, and it's like, yeah, were they asking to look outside? Were they really backing Kaepernick? So what was the prospectus again?
The Bengals should consider bringing in Kaepernick.
Too early, sell it.
Oregon plays Arizona State on Saturday, their first time playing in Tempe since the triple overtime thriller that saw Tyree Robinson, Arion Springs make huge interceptions, and Vernon Adams complete one of the most incredible fourth down plays in Oregon history, back of the end zone to Dwayne Stanford to keep them alive. Another interesting thing in that game was that Mark Helfrich utilized sheets to keep their signals away from the prying eyes of Todd Graham, literal sheets attached to poles that they would hold up in front of different guys signaling in plays. Willie Taggart asked about it this week, said he doesn't care because they change up the person who is the key every week, and if ASU wants to steal them, then it's fine with him. The prospectus, you buy or sell that Taggart isn't concerned with ASU stealing signals.
First of all, Arizona State is going in the tank. They're about to get their coach fired because they don't win anymore. So whatever they're doing,
they should steal some wins,
isn't working. So they maybe should hack the Pac-12 server and get and, you know, change the win-loss total like Matthew Broderick did in War Games when he changed his girlfriend's grade. So Willie Taggart is in no way concerned about a coach that he's actually better than with a better team. So I'm going to sell that one, too.
Oh, you're going to buy that
one. I'm buying it. Bad me.
Cash money, boy. Oregon men's basketball. Steve is making it rain, in case anybody were wondering. Oregon men's basketball released their schedule for this season. The non-conference features a lot of state schools that aren't states. Coming off a Final Four appearance, you would think there would be some big-time matchups with big-time schools, and there really isn't. Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, the biggest names outside of the PK-80 tournament that has the Ducks playing UConn, whom they played last year as well, and possibly Michigan State. Now, the Ducks are coming off the Final Four, but have to replace essentially their entire lineup other than Peyton Pritchard, so playing big-time teams would likely have ended up in losses for them, which Oregon doesn't necessarily want. So the prospectus, the non-conference schedule for the Ducks is boring, but it's good for them.
I'll tell you what, if they ended up playing Boise State, Colorado State, and Michigan State in non-conference in football, that'd be a really good non-conference
schedule.
That's not bad. That's pretty darn good. Especially the teams coming to MAC court before conference play. It's
MAC court. You did that yesterday,
too. I did that again yesterday. How about Matthew Knight Arena?
Yeah, that place.
That's not really anything to get excited about, which might be a good thing, because this is a team in flux after this unbelievable run where they lost everybody but Peyton Pritchard. So while I agree it's not exciting, I think it's good. So I guess I would buy that it's just not a scintillating non-con.
Last one here. The Canelo Triple G fight left many with a sour taste in their mouth. It was the second big-time boxing fight in the last 6 months to have baffling judges' scores ruin what was, by all other accounts, a fantastic fight. Pacquiao getting robbed in Australia, and now the draw between Golovkin and Alvarez. It's been said that it was boxing at its best and at its worst at the same time. Most people who saw the fight say Triple G won, but the big head-scratcher came from Judge Adelaide Bird, who scored at 118-110 in favor of Canelo. Nonito Donaire is a fighter who got the same score from Bird in a competitive fight he lost 5 years ago. Donaire was asked about Bird this week and said, and I'm quoting, "A lot of people could have seen this as a close fight, and that's okay. But what Adelaide Bird did was ridiculous. It's ruining the sport, and it's actually pissing me off the more I think about it. It's ruining boxing. It's ruining the game." So the prospectus, you buy or sell that judges are ruining boxing.
Well, boxing's always been sketchy, but I went back and read about her scorecard from that fight in 2012, and we talked about it on Monday when you weren't here, the reports from that fight. So it's a question of, if everybody is watching one fight and one judge seems to be watching another, that's not helping at all.
Yeah.
So boxing has done its own fair share of sleazy garbage to help ruin the sport, but this is really detrimental. It just kills the credibility. So I'm actually going to buy that one. All right,